And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. Today's food and dining segments are now at hand with resident chef, author, syndicated columnist, and producer Linda Gassenheimer. Linda now leads us into the exploration in the world of oysters and sustainable oyster farming. Tomorrow is National Oyster Day.
Happy Oysters Day tomorrow.
Well, thank you.
We have some at hand. Hey, Linda.
Hi. Hi, Bonnie. Hi, Joe. So what's the new hot item this year? Last year was octopus. And this year, it's oysters. If you go around, you see so many restaurants, expensive restaurants, not so expensive restaurants. They're all serving oysters. And I found out that nearly 2 billion with a B pounds of oysters are eaten every year. It's a lot of oysters. And our guest was trying to tell me if an oyster weighs 2 grams, then you can do the math on that. But I wasn't going to do the math on that. But anyway. So what are the different types of oysters? What's the best way to enjoy them? And in studio to explain all about this is the executive chef of Izzy's Fish and Oyster Bar, William Crandall. So welcome, William.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And he's got oysters with him, too. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. What's your take on oysters? Do you have any questions for our guest? Give us a call. That's 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576.
Or radio at WLRN.org is our email.
Okay. And, of course, with us is our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by phone, and he writes the wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes columns that you can read in the Miami Herald, and you can read his wine column in Saturday's Miami Herald food section. So, Fred, what are we drinking today?
Well, the question is there any wine that goes with oysters? And I'll bet you can guess the answer.
Always with you, we can, Fred Tasker. William Crandall. Why do you think oysters have become such a big thing? I mean, they're everywhere these days.
Well, oysters showcase a simplicity in flavor and culture and terroir, very much in the same as the wine world, that chefs are able to build on that creativity of just the region itself. And it's a great base, and it's simple.
It's simple and easy?
Simple
and easy.
It's straightforward.
Okay. Well, there are so many different types, and you've brought some here. And I want to explain that he's got a big ice chest here, and he's got the oysters. And he shucked them, and I took a video of his doing that, and you can see that on Twitter. You'll be able to see him doing that. And also on my Facebook page, you can see what he's doing. So tell me something. You've got oysters there, and it's on ice, and let me taste one.
So
what have I got here?
So we have three different types of oysters from Massachusetts.
Okay, so these are from Massachusetts. So now he's handing me the oyster, and
I'll take one, too,
All right.
Let me ask you something, William. How perishable are oysters that they have to be on ice just to the last minute, do they?
Yeah, the oysters are best stored on ice. It keeps them relaxed, and it makes their meats a little bit more tender, and it keeps them in hibernation almost. Think of a bear sleeping in a cave.
You mean it's alive?
It is alive. For the first, I would say, minute and a half after you open the oyster, it remains alive.
Okay, so you're
tasting.
Does everyone have their oysters? Yeah, we have our oysters in hand. It's in the shell. It's liquid and the oyster. And now, what do we do?
So, if you've ever taken a shot of liquor in college, it's very much the same style. We're going to take it, put the rim of the oyster to our mouth, and we're going to slurp it back.
Well, it just tastes like the sea.
It does taste like this.
It's like jumping in the ocean with your mouth open.
That's a good way to put it.
I guess it's better than getting it up your nose, though. Well, I mean the water.
So tell me, what was the kind we just ate?
So we just ate a Moonrise oyster from North Dennis, Massachusetts. It's in the Southern Cape area. It has a great water current that gives it a really brisk salinity and a very sweet finish and a clean flavor. As you could tell, there's not a lot of muckiness going on. It's a very crisp oyster.
Yeah, it really is. I can usually kind of take them or leave them. These I'll take.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you supposed to chew an oyster?
An old French guy told me you chew an oyster once and then you simply swallow. And then if you abuse the meat too much, the oils start to saturate your palate.
Interesting.
Okay. So the answer is no.
Well, once.
Yeah, once.
Once. Okay, once. Well, before we taste another one, let me ask you, You've been to the oyster farms, and so what is it like? What do they do? I mean, this is a farmed fish, actually. It's not a wild fish.
No, there are wild oysters, but I would say a lot of the oysters nowadays are farmed for the ability of consistency and sustainability. The oyster farms themselves, they resemble, if you've ever seen like a cranberry farm, you see a lot of things floating on the top of the water. In this case, there's like racks, these wooden racks that look very similar to a stone crab trap for South Floridians. And they organize them in rows so they get even current. They're, as you know, blue collar as oyster farming is, it's actually extremely organized and they're very professional people because oysters, for the most part, at the end of the day, are going to be eaten raw. So they have to be treated very carefully.
So then they have these wood planks inside
the casks. And they make these rows inside the wood boxes, mm-hmm. and they organize the oysters in there. They usually divvy them up by size. And so when you pull the rack up, you can expect a certain range of size depending on the time of year.
Okay. And so at Izzy's Fish and Oyster Bar, do you get most of your oysters from New England or where?
We get all of our oysters from New England. We tried to stay as true as possible to the New England concept. For us, it was very important to showcase different varieties from the Cape Cod area in Massachusetts and to showcase different flavors. Like the three different oysters I brought today have very distinctly different flavors, but they're all from the exact same region of the Cape.
So now, would it be bad form to, say, with these really delicious oysters, to fry them or make them Rockefeller?
Absolutely. I would say that's all dependent on the size of the oyster. Like today I brought petite small oysters, which are perfect for eating on the half shell, in my opinion, for my flavor profile. But a larger oyster is great for cooking with. Like if you want to grill oysters, broil them to make different dishes, and you can have more fun with them.
Okay, so shall we taste another one?
Okay.
Okay, all right. The next one. Tell us what we're tasting.
Pass them around.
Yeah, okay.
Bonnie's allergic to shellfish, by the way, or to bivalves.
Thank you.
Bivalves. So we're tasting it. Okay. So now, what is this one? This one is called.
This is called Big Rock Oyster.
Okay, but it doesn't look like a big one.
No, it's not. It's quite small.
Okay, so we're going to slurp it again.
Yep, slurp it back.
Okay. Mmm. Mmm. Now this is the difference. They're so different in taste. This is quite salty.
Yeah, it's saltier than the first.
And, but it has more flavor. So this is called Big Rock.
Big Rock oysters. And these oysters, you notice, have a little bit of a cucumber note, kiwi, and a little bit of a honeydew flavor going on. A little bit more pronounced than the minerality, which can lend itself pairing well with white wines.
Well, I'm not that sophisticated.
Now, how do farmed oysters compare to wild
I would say it's more of a consistency thing. There are some really amazing wild oysters out there that you can get, you know, very complex flavors, especially the West Coast, I think, is a little bit more known for wild oyster, mm-hmm. as well as Canadian East Coast oysters have a large variety of wild oysters. the Cape does a lot of farming because a lot of the hatcheries have to have a certain water temperature for the oysters to spawn.
Okay, so down here in Florida, we probably know about Apalachicola.
Yes.
Oysters. And now, how are those different?
Those are definitely a lot bigger than at least the oysters that I brought today. Those have a very high fat content, which lends themselves to being cooking oysters. Like if you want to have a grill out barbecue in your backyard, want to make an oysters Rockefeller, they have a great fat content to sustain that type of heat and aggression. With sauces and garnishes on top.
How do you go about grilling them, say, on your gas grill? Put them on in the shell, and then when they open, they're done?
What I do is I like to actually shuck them ahead of time and then put them open face on the grill, and then I can put my sauce on top of the oyster while it cooks, and then all the flavors can kind of marry together as it's cooking.
What sort of sauces?
For me, I would do a nice bitter orange like mojo de ajo with a little bit of cilantro. Maybe you could do some parsley garlic butter with some breadcrumbs on top. Maybe a little bruschetta style with tomato and white balsamic vinegar.
Mm. I mean, honestly, he's getting us very, very hungry. It's sounding really good. All right. So if you were going to do that, obviously you'd have to buy the oysters and bring them home and do this at home. So what are some advice about what to look for when we go to buy oysters?
An oyster, when you pick up the oyster, you should always think that it feels heavier than it looks. It should have a nice weight considering its size. That means that it's full of juice and the meats are very plump. If it feels light to mm-hmm. the touch, then that means it's dried out on the inside. It's not the freshest. You also want to make sure the fish purveyor you're dealing with is someone that you trust a lot, because oysters, you know, they have, you know, safety issues, and you always want to make sure
but they're tagged, right, or their location.
Yes. Yeah. Anyone that sells oysters legally has to be a licensed shellfish purveyor.
Okay. And so what if we get them in the store and it's difficult to shuck them? Should we have them shucked there and bring them home, or is that dangerous?
It depends. If you're going to use them within a couple hours, that's not a problem.
And in the hot car here, you better have some ice with you.
You better go straight home.
Yes.
I would also say that if you're going to use them the next day, you're better off shucking them yourself.
Any hints about... I said on my Twitter account how you show how to shuck them, but you had a knife and you just got right in there and opened the bivalve easily.
I make it look easy because I do it a lot, but there is a technique. You know, each oyster has a teardrop shape. At the tip of the teardrop is where you want to put the knife, the tip of the oyster knife, and then you make a twisting motion with your hand. A lot of people like to pry the oyster open. Many times that'll smash the shell, and it makes your life a little bit more difficult.
So you have to cut a muscle, right?
Yeah, there's a muscle attachment on the left-hand side of the oyster as the teardrop is facing you, and then you just kind of scrape right under that, and the oyster loosens right up.
That's amazing. You must do a lot of shucking every day.
Whoa. Yeah, we go through about 2,000 pieces a week.
Wow.
So.
Wow. That's how you're so good at it. Yeah. Well, I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking about oysters, and tomorrow, Friday, is National Oyster Day. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we've been talking about the latest hot menu item, oysters. An executive chef, William Crandall, he's the executive chef of Izzy's Fish and Oyster Bar that's on Miami Beach, has been here. He's been feeding us oysters. He's been talking about them. He's been telling us all about how to eat them and how to buy them. But right now, it's dinner in minutes time. In case you hadn't heard, it's going to be the Olympics. The opening for the Olympics is tomorrow night. So I thought we'd have celebrate the ceremonies with a Brazilian-style dinner in minutes, and this is Brazilian-style chicken and quinoa. So cumin, cayenne pepper, coconut milk, these are some of the diverse flavors of the Brazilian dishes. Now, there's a whole fusion of flavors in Brazilian cuisine. Immigrants from Japan, Africa, Europe, they all brought their culture and their food and their foods there. So there's a lot of exotic flavors in their cuisine. And so for this dish, I just rubbed the chicken with some cumin and some cayenne powder, and I sauteed it with a little onion and some okra, and then I finished the dish with coconut milk, and then, of course, a few peanuts there. And it's served over a bed of quinoa, and you just cook the quinoa. I cook it like rice, just cook it until it's soft, maybe 15, 20 minutes. And that's real simple Brazilian-style dish. And you can find that complete recipe in a photo. That's at my website, dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. And you can see Chef Crandall shucking the oysters. He only does 2,000 a week, so he's quite good at it. Fred Tasker, what are we drinking?
Well, you know, 100 years ago, oysters were really a rich man's delicacy. I was reading about it. The 13-course first-class dinner menu on the doomed ship Titanic on that fateful day in 1912 began with oysters. And the second and third class menus did not. So the 1% folks of that era went into the abyss with happy tummies.
That's good to know.
Yeah, good to know. Today, oysters are a lot more accessible, so we in the 99% need to figure out what kind of wines go with them. And it's really pretty easy. Oysters have subtle, salty flavors, so we just look for white wines that are light and lean and crisp and dry. So you might ask, what do the French gourmets do? And along that country's Atlantic coast in the western end of the Loire Valley, when they slurp raw oysters, they sip a local wine called Muscadet. This is a classic pairing. Muscadet is a bone dry, light and crisp with flavors of citrus and minerals, and it's made from a grape called Melon de Bourgogne. And French foodies say oysters and muscadet go together. I love this comparison, like Mickey and Mouse.
I'm glad they know about Mickey and Mouse.
Yeah. Other light, crisp, dry wines also go with oysters. For example, the dry champagnes, the ones with no sugar at all, are great with oysters.
So a little bubbly there, huh?
A little bubbly, as always.
Okay.
Chardonnay in its usual form is too rich and too buttery and too oaky to go with oysters. But there's one form of Chardonnay that does go very well, and that's Chablis from the France's northern Burgundy area. This is crisp and lean and kind of minerally, and it gets little or no oak aging, so it's a natural pairing with oysters. And then Sauvignon Blanc, when it's made, again, without oak aging, is another good oyster wine. When I go to wine judging competitions in California, my local fellow tasters like to drop a raw oyster into a cocktail glass, fill it with Sauvignon Blanc, and down it as a shooter.
Now, so that's called an oyster shooter?
An oyster shooter.
Did you see the expression on Bonnie's face here? It's priceless.
Oh, well, don't forget, you got to chew it once, so you get a little more flavor that way.
Okay.
Cooked oysters take different wines. Those same California wine judges like to spoon a bit of barbecue sauce and even a drop of hot sauce onto an oyster and heat it on a grill. And, of course, this calls for a red wine, maybe a light Pinot Noir. And Pinot also goes well with oyster chowder and with the famous dish Oysters Rockefeller with its greens and bacon. And you can even pair oysters with beer if you want. You could use a light lager. But oyster lovers say the saltiness of oysters is even better match for the bitterness of Guinness Stout. And, of course, you know that's good for you.
Of course. Right. So what wines do you serve at the restaurant with the...
Well, one of our more traditional wines that we serve is the Muscadet, and we also do a light lager. Our Narragansett lager is another great pairing. Oysters and beer, especially in a New England restaurant, fits very, very well
and
together.
And today's a special beer day, isn't it?
Today is National IPA Day, I found out. So I'll have to get myself one of those later on.
Of course.
Sounds good to me.
And now, so tell me, are you doing anything special for National Oyster Day?
Yes, we are doing a promotion. We're going to do oysters for $1 a piece, also known as buck a shuck, with the purchase of a bottle of wine. So hopefully some people come in, get that bottle of Muscadet or a nice dry champagne, and enjoy some beautiful oysters.
Where are you on South Beach?
We are located at 423 Washington Avenue, right in between 4th Street and 5th Street on South Beach.
Do you figure a dozen per person?
Me, I like to do two, but it's a full meal.
He likes to do two because he's 6'7". I want everybody to know this. So, that's great. You have a New England style. It's like kind of a New England clam shack kind of restaurant there at Izzy's, and you've brought New England, which I'm happy about because I'm from New England, to Miami. What are some of the other New England delicacies you have there?
Well, we just got voted one of the best lobster rolls in the country by Zagat, and so that's definitely one of our signatures. We have that two ways, hot or cold. Our clam chowder is delicious.
So what do you put on your your lobster rolls to make them delicious?
Well,
our
hot lobster roll, it's served with a lobster béarnaise sauce, which is a French butter sauce with a little bit of tarragon vinegar and fresh chives. And on our cold lobster roll, we serve that with lemon zest, a little bit of olive oil, and sliced chives as well.
Oh, that sounds good. And then cold is just with mayonnaise?
Cold has a lobster mayonnaise. So we make a lobster olive oil, and then we make the mayonnaise base out of that.
Wow.
Yep.
That sounds pretty good.
And then all the buns are toasted in lobster butter. So it's like lobster on lobster on lobster.
Okay, everybody's going to run there right away for this lobster. And what about, and of course these are Maine lobsters, right?
Yes.
Yes. And what about your clam chowder?
Our clam chowder, we use local clams. I find a really good clam farm on the Gulf Coast of Florida, and we make...
I didn't know they had clams here.
I know, and they're actually extremely delicious. So we use little net clams, and we steam them out, and we add a little bit of white wine, shallots, garlic, potato, and leeks, and then we simmer that, and then we add just a touch of cream, puree it until it's nice and silky.
That sounds wonderful, because... You actually have clams in your clam chowder,
yes.
And you don't have a lot of flour thickening it either.
No, we actually don't use any flour at all.
That sounds
good. Do you use oyster crackers, or are those forbidden?
Oh, of course we use the Westminster oyster crackers for the clam chowder. It's essential.
Sounds good.
Yes.
So, and what about for those people who are not oyster eaters or fish eaters? Do you have non-fish recipes there?
Yes. Two of our better known items is our buffalo fried chicken sandwich with house made ranch dressing sauce and kosher dill pickles. And then we also have a burger with smoked onion jam, a little bit of Wisconsin cave-aged cheddar on a toasted potato roll.
Wow. You know, Joe, there's another, he has another oyster there for us to taste.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh.
Shall we do that?
We don't want it to go bad.
No, I mean, it's just sitting here waiting for us. And
here we go.
And which one is this from?
This
Where
one?
This,
this one is called Indian Neck.
Sorry, Indian Neck?
I'm Indian Neck. This is my personal favorite out of the three that I brought today.
And this is from Massachusetts.
This is also from Massachusetts, from Dennis.
And I have to tell you something. I'm looking at all three of these, and it's hard to tell the difference just by looking at them if you're not, if you don't know about them. Mm.
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 Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is my favorite one.
Yeah.
It's you know, it does taste of the sea, doesn't it? And
yeah.
And it has
his earlier description, a mouthful of seawater. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it has it's a little saltier, but
mm-hmm.
it's very good. Now, you have lemonade. We could put lemon on it. But do you prefer to just have your oysters without anything on them?
Depending on the oyster, I'll put one or two drops of lemon juice. I'm a purist. I like to eat the oyster just by itself. But it also depends on people's palates. Everyone tastes food differently. So at the restaurant, we offer horseradish, cocktail sauce, Tabasco, if you are in the spicy.
The red cocktail sauce?
Red cocktail sauce.
The red plague?
Well, we also have a traditional mignonette with black pepper and shallots as
Oh, wow. Mignonette. Yes. That's famous.
Yes.
And I just wanted to say, because that's one of my favorites, he has Boston cream pie there.
Ooh.
And it's not a pie. Just quickly tell us what it is. It's a cake with...
It's essentially a white sponge cake with pastry cream whipped in the center of it. And in our case, we soak a little bit of dark rum syrup, glazed with dark chocolate ganache, and crusted with salted Marcona almonds.
Did you bring some?
I did not.
On that note,
that'll be for next time.
That's okay,
that
William.
Delicious note. It's been a really tasty week. Thank you, Chef William Crandall, for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And for the exceptional oysters we've had. Izzy's
Indeed.
Fish and Oyster Bar is located at 423 Washington Avenue on Miami Beach. That's between what and what?
4th Street and 5th Street on Washington Avenue.
On Washington Avenue. Thank you, Fred Tasker, for the great advice.
Always a pleasure.
Joe and Bonnie, nice to be with you. Joe, you surprised me. You enjoyed the oysters.
Well, I did. I really did.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so next week we'll be talking with Fireman Derek about his bake shop and cafe, and I'm looking forward to those pies. Okay,
oh,
Bonnie, are
okay.
you looking forward to that?
Absolutely.
I'm Linda Gassenheimer.
I get croissants from there in the morning sometimes.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
And that wraps up today's session. We hope you enjoyed it. Our lead producer, Richard Ives, technical direction from online coordinator Jason Zopka. Holly Landis is associate producer. And as always, we have free audio archives for download at our website. That's WLRN.org. Also, check out the Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow at 1, it's Here and Now. Monday, Bonnie and I return with a program about animal rights and how the numbers of them used for entertainment purposes can be reduced. Join us then. Also, Monday, the happiness equation, want nothing, do anything, equals have everything. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, Linda Gassenheimer, and Fred Tasker, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.